With the Lord's help, I desire that we would turn together to read from the book of Isaiah, chapter 25. Isaiah, chapter 25. O Lord, thou art my God. I will exalt thee. I will praise thy name, for thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. For thou hast made of a city an heap, of a defensed city a ruin, a palace of strangers to be no city. It shall never be built. Therefore shall the strong people glorify thee. The city of the terrible nations shall fear thee. For thou hast been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat when the blast of the terrible ones is as a storm against the wall. Thou shalt bring down the noise of strangers as the heat in a dry place, even the heat with the shadow of a cloud. The branch of the terrible ones shall be brought low. And in this mountain shall the Lord of hosts make unto all people a feast of fat things, a feast of wines on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, of wines on the lees well refined. And he will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast over all people, and the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death in victory. And the Lord will wipe away tears from off all faces. And the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth. For the Lord hath spoken it. And it shall be said in that day, Lo, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. For in this mountain shall the hand of the Lord rest, and Moab shall be trodden down under him, even as straw is trodden down for the dunghill. And he shall spread forth his hands in the midst of them, as he that swimmeth spreadeth forth his hands to swim. And he shall bring down their pride together with the spoils of their hands. And the fortress of the high fort of thy walls shall he bring down, lay low, and bring to the ground, even to the dust. I've read the entire chapter. And Lord, bless the reading of his word, and may we all bow before him in prayer. The passage of scripture that we've read together, Isaiah speaks of a time that is coming, a time of blessing for the people of God, and a day when the Lord will be with his people, to dwell with them, to provide for them a beautiful future that is prepared for the people of God. And this was written so many years ago, and God promised it would come to pass. And we can take encouragement for ourselves because we know and believe that God's word will come to pass. He will keep his promises. And if there's anything that you can perhaps take with you this morning hour for your strengthening and for our blessing, it is that there are promises to be received in God's word. That is one. And the second is that there are choices to be made. The promises of God. The Lord desires to share his glory and his majesty and his power and his strength and to reveal that And he had intended that man would work the garden and that he would have fellowship with him. But he soon fell, and God promised that he would send a seed through the woman that would destroy Satan. And God keeps his promises. Even Isaiah prophesied of the suffering servant that would come. And prophets spoke of the hope that God would give through a Savior, through one who was anointed, through a Messiah. And all of those voices of the prophets went quiet for 400 years. David's line seemed to be cut off as the king stopped. And yet then, the voices of the angels were heard that Messiah was born, that Christ was born, that God was sending his goodwill and peace unto men, fulfilled in the birth of Jesus Christ. It had seemed that God was quiet and maybe had forgotten, but that is never the case. God always keeps his word. And maybe you, in your experience and your life, you may think that at times it seems God is quiet and God forgets. But he has not forgotten you. And his promise is still sure. And the promises that he had given before, that he fulfilled, he followed through with. And that should give us encouragement and strengthen us in our faith that the promises that are yet to come, that are spoken about in this chapter, will indeed come to pass. Isaiah talks in these chapters about a time that will be terrible on this earth, and that the kings of this world will be fearful. And this chapter is unique, and it speaks about Isaiah and his calm peace in the midst of this troubling vision. The calm peace that can be present for the man of God, for the prophet, for the faithful, when the world and its powerful and its kings are in fear, because our trust is in the living God, because our trust is in the one who keeps his promises, who was faithful in the past, and who we believe and depend upon will be faithful in the future. So Isaiah makes a choice, and we have a choice. We come here today to worship the Lord, and that is a choice. He says, O Lord, thou art my God, I will exalt thee. I will praise thy name, for thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. We have the testimony, those who are God's children, of our own experience and also the testimony of the Word of God, that God has always been faithful. He has always been true to his word. He has never failed us, and he will never fail. And yet this world and our flesh want to make us feel like not praising God, like not coming before him with a heart of worship, with a heart of looking up to him and realizing that he is greater than ourselves. Despite how we feel, we need to make the choice and say, I will. I will serve the Lord with God's help. I will exalt the Lord. I have come to the house of the Lord. I will pray and surrender my heart, my life, my doings, my decisions. I will praise thy name. I will seek to bring honor and glory and attention to Jesus Christ and what he has done, the promises that he has brought to my life, and is leaving the door open for those who have not yet made a covenant with him. This faithful God still leaves the door open and the promises open for you to make a choice. Will you be thankful to God for his salvation? Will you show appreciation? Will you choose to listen to his call to repentance? His call to believe. His call to find the calm in the midst of the storm of this life and this world. Few find it. Many seek for something to calm their fears. And they look to many promises given in the world, given by Satan. But we know that only the Word of God is true. Only the Word of God is the foundation upon which we can build our lives so that we would have hope, that we would be able to weather the storm. That is the hope of I will. That is the hope of the prophet and the man of God that chooses, no matter what I feel, I know this is true. I know this is right. And because of that, I will. I will praise the Lord. I will serve him. I will desire to hear his voice. And I will not harden my heart. That's the choice. As the promises of God are unfolded, are given. And there is a testimony that Isaiah gives in verse 4 that should speak encouragement to us. He says, thou hast been a strength to the poor. These are some of the things that God is doing even at this moment. The Lord is a strength to the poor. Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. God is a strength to those that are poor. Those that do not see themselves as perhaps valuable or worthwhile. Those who are lowly and down and beaten down by sin, by this world. Those who have any harm or misfortune. This world doesn't have much mercy. But the Lord speaks his mercy. And it's amazing that at the time of Jesus, the disciples were saying things like, if the rich can't be saved, who can be saved? And seemed to put the rich on a pedestal. But who needs money to come before God in prayer? Do you need to show him your wealth? Will he be impressed with that? No, but the contrite spirit, a meek, contrite heart before God, he does not despise, and he offers strength and wisdom to all those who find that they are empty. The poor, they look in their pockets and they are empty. Where do you go when you are empty? Isaiah is looking back on his life and his experience and what he has seen the Lord doing. And he has a testimony that the Lord is the strength to the poor. He is our only hope. And he can help and he can save. Will you believe? Will you take him up on his word? Will you taste and see that the Lord is good? That he can be the strength upon which we depend, that we would not trust in ourselves, but only hope and trust in the Lord. He continues on and says that the Lord is strength to the needy in his distress. We can relate to the idea of one who is needy, and then added on to his need is in distress, where it seems like insult is added to injury. where you're at your weakest point, and then turmoil comes. The Word of God offers strength to the needy in his distress. And not only in wisdom and instruction, but also, even as the brother had prayed, in our relationship with the Lord. Jesus Christ came to this earth, was born, and experienced life as a man. And after he was baptized, the Spirit drove him into the wilderness to be tempted. And he knew the need and felt the hunger of this flesh. And at that moment, when he was in need physically, Satan came to him and tempted him, adding that insult to the injury. And yet, in the Word of God, he found the strength and he found the fitting response to that which he experienced. And so if you find yourself and can relate to the needy in distress, you are in good company. Because Jesus can walk with you, can show you his way, can be present with you and a very present help in your time of trouble, in your time of temptation, to help give you victory. Follow him. He knows the way. He knows the way of victory to help us in our time of distress. He is a refuge, it says, from the time of storm, from the time of chaos and upheaval. He's a refuge. And we can certainly understand and see this world has its times and is having its time of upheaval, of chaos, of uncertainty. And we need a refuge. We need a refuge in a foundation that is not based on the strength of man and what we can do. We need the refuge that is found in our heavenly home with our Lord and Savior. Where could I go in this old sinful world? Only to the Lord. Only to the Lord. He is the only refuge that we can trust and depend upon. And then finally, a shadow from the heat. And he describes the picture, not just visually, but also the feeling. And anybody who has worked out in the sunshine, in the heat of the day, knows when the sun is beating upon them, they're working hard and they're sweating. They feel it, and you know what that feels like. And you also know when the cloud passes over and gives you a little bit of a break, the fresh and sweetness of that shadow. Do you know the refreshing sweetness of the shadow of the wings of the Lord as he would gather his children underneath him to protect them? The Jews, when Jesus came, Jesus said, and you would not. They did not believe. Isaiah says, I will. The Lord offers a refuge and salvation, and he gives you a choice. Will you? Will you love and desire and yearn and hunger for his refuge, for his closeness? He invites one and all. And there is coming a time when this world will be plunged into the deepest, darkest terror and the wrath of God. And we will need a refuge. We need to prepare now. This is Isaiah, a man of God, faithful in his in the word of God. He was willing to go when he was sent, and he had that confidence. We too need to prepare today for a time that is coming upon this earth when it talks about the mountains melting, the cities being destroyed, the great cities of this world not being able to protect its citizens, and needing a refuge. And the answer is given today. It's in our Lord. It's in following his ways. And the world despises it. Despises the simplicity and the weakness of Christ, that servant who humbled himself and came to walk with us. But his hands are stretched out still. His promise is still true, and he will never fail. The Lord promises to the people of God that he will prepare a feast of good things, a feast of blessings, a feast of the best gifts. This feast is talked about in the New Testament. Jesus says that he will gird himself and serve us. And it's just such a beautiful picture, and it just stuns my thoughts to think that the one who patiently served will in eternity show us who he truly is. Can you imagine what it would be like? We picture the Lamb of God, and we picture perhaps what it will be like to view the Lord high and lifted up upon his throne. But don't forget, he said he will gird himself and serve. If he came to you today with a blessing ready for you to take, and he was clothed in servant's clothing, and he handed it to you, how would you live? Could you help but desire to also share and to serve, to love and to give as he has shown you example? I don't think we could help ourselves. And feeling that love and seeing that example, he has the very best things to give unto us. And our hope is Christ in you. That's the hope of glory. That's the gift that he is willing to give. He's willing to give himself. And he did. He gave himself upon the cross of Calvary. He gave the very best gift. He gave that perfect and spotless sacrifice so that we could be saved. He poured out his blood. Before that, he told his disciples, take this wine and this bread, partake. And he said, I am looking forward to a time where I will share this wine new with you in the kingdom of God. What will that feast be like? He is looking forward. He is anticipating that day. Do we have that same hope and love and anticipation that the promises of God will come to pass, and those who are faithful to him, those who are part of his family, those who abide in his covenant will also partake in the very best blessings of the feast that he is preparing? And we could go on and speak. But eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, and it hasn't even entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. The promises of God, beloved, these things are true. These things are our hope. The Lord also promises that he will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast over all people, and the veil that is spread over all nations. He says he will swallow up death in victory. Death is a veil. and a covering that covers all nations. There's not one person who will be able to say, I will escape death in this physical body. And Jesus himself suffered the pain and tasted of death for every man, that we, though we may die physically, that we would have a hope of a resurrection, and that death would be swallowed up in victory and swallowed up of life, and that the Lord would be justified, and that he would bring all of his children together to worship him, and that death would no more terrorize. Death would no more be a source of fear. That is our hope for us who are God's children. For those of you who are still outside, the message is still, will you? That choice is still in front of you. Make that choice. Commit to the Lord. Seek his guidance and receive the strength that he offers. And then you will have the promise in front of you. And daily have the choice and willingly say, yes, I will. I will continue. I will continue in the faith by God's grace with his help. For at this point, there is a covering cast over. Cast over all who are in unbelief. That is also a covering. And is a covering that brings death. There will come a time when all of the children of Israel will be gathered together. And there will be a time when God's people recognize him for who he is. The covering of unbelief will be removed. And we will see the promises of God being fulfilled. It will come. It will come. And on that day, all of God's children will be grateful. We will be thankful, and we will know and recognize that we have not made it by our own strength, our own cunning. And Isaiah puts it beautifully. He says, lo, look, behold, this is our God. We have waited for him. That is what we are busy with. We are waiting for the Lord. And he will save us. This is our hope, that the Lord will provide deliverance. He will provide the refuge while we wait for him. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. There is a yearning, an anticipation, an expectation in Isaiah for the Lord and for him to fulfill his promises. We will look upon him. We will see him. If we have waited for him. Do you know that he will save us? Do you know that he will deliver and he will provide? These are the promises of God. He will do it. And all of the promises of destruction that are coming upon this earth, it will come to pass. May we take the promise of God and know that he will fulfill it. And may we also take the choice that God has given us. Commit it to the Lord. He will keep it until that day. God is able, though we are not on our own. God is able to keep us. May our trust and our hope and our faith ever be in the Lord. And may we have this testimony. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad. That's a choice. We will rejoice. That's a choice in his salvation. And he offers that choice to one and all. May God bless his word. Amen.
This chapter that we have read this morning is a prophecy, a foretelling of great things to come. And I appreciate the thought that Brother Robert shared in the message this morning that we can take trust and comfort in the Lord, that he knows all things and that he sees all things and controls all things. Just as the promises were fulfilled in this chapter, we have a hope and a trust and a belief that all things that are written in the Lord's word will one day be fulfilled in perfection and in the perfect timing. The Lord has come. He has taken on flesh at the perfect time in history when the Lord saw it fit. And because of that, we have a hope. We have a hope, and there will be victory for us. It was prophesied in this chapter that there will come a time when he will swallow up death in victory, and that the Lord will wipe away tears from off all faces. And in 1 Corinthians 15, we see the fulfillment of that. We see that it says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? But death itself is swallowed up in victory. That time has come. Jesus Christ has come to this earth. He has taken on flesh. He has lived a faithful life, free of sin, showing us that it is possible. And he was risen from the dead. He had victory over death. He had victory over the grave, showing us that we as well can. We also can have victory over death. We have no more need to fear death, no more need to fear the one who previously had control over death, which is the devil. He wants to lie to us and call us and draw us back unto him and to tell us that there is no hope, but we have a hope in this chapter that we have read and all throughout God's word. We have a hope that God's promises, his prophecies have been fulfilled through the coming of his Son, our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's live for him each and every day and never be drawn back into the bondage of this world that the devil would like to call us back into. But let's go forward in the marvelous light of Jesus Christ and live for him and no longer for ourselves. May to God be all the honor and glory in this day and each and every day that he alone is worthy of. Amen.